with everybody else in last week. Is there a question in the middle or not? I don't get questions in the middle of the choice. But I hope that you guys will take some of the words that I'm saying to heart. And I want to start off with, she was somewhat inspired by Daniel Rivlin and our conversation this week and his desire to connect Eretz Yisrael. And a little disclaimer in that I can't really promise that this year is going to make sure that you have better wives and whether or not this schmooze allows you to find yourselves better people, better Jews, and building better families and things like that really depends more on how much you take it to heart, more than the words that I'm saying. Anything that I'm saying also is simply, I'm just something of a filter or whatever, just to share the chachma of Chazal and the chachma of the Torah. And such a beautiful schos, Baruch Hashem, to be able to share Torah with you guys. Okay, so Parshas Lech Lecha. Chazal tell us, Maisa Ava Simul Abanim, that the events of our forefathers is a sign for the descendants. And so it means that we have to look to take our own lessons out of Lech Lecha. Miftam Eliyahu writes that where does a Jew get the ability to pick up his life and move from Chutz Eretz to Eretz Yisrael? There's a whole Aliyah movement today. Nefesh B'Nefesh. I met with a guy today who wants to maybe switch to the yeshiva, who says next year he's for sure making Aliyah. We have guys here say they're for sure making Aliyah. Where does this come from? He says it comes from Avram Avinu. It's within our genetic, our spiritual DNA, that we have this love of Eretz Yisrael. And the source for that is right here, right now. Parshas Lech Lecha. So I'm going to start with a few tough questions. Question number one. Why is Eretz Yisrael so important? What's so important about Eretz Yisrael? Hashem is God of the whole world, God of the whole universe, master of the whole universe. So we all know the song, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. So, if Hashem is everywhere, so why is Eretz Yisrael so special? Why did Hashem tell Avram to go to Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Yisrael? Why couldn't he just be a good Jew and we're casting? Number two, why doesn't the Torah tell us about Avram before this point? Why doesn't it tell us that he, you know, the way the Rambam does, based on the Midrashim, that Avram Avinu grew up in Ur Kasdim, and from the age of 3, he started to question and say, "Mi baal havira? Who is the owner of this structure?" Right? Medrash compares that somebody walks into a town and they see this big building on fire. So the guy's going to say, "Whose building is that?" So Avram Avinu also, he was looking at this world. He said, "There's so much structure here." The life, what's it called? The circle of life, the food chain. The, you know, there's look at what's going on here. Look at, like, you know, photosynthesis and like, you know, the chromosomes and the, you know, there's so much chachma in this world. Mi baal havira? From age 3 till age 40, Avram Avinu was searching and trying to discern. Is it the sun? No, the sun's gone at night. The moon's gone by day. Mi baal havira? There's so much about Emunah that the Torah could have told us about. Number three, when finally Hashem does speak to Avram, so why won't Hashem tell Avram that he's going to Eretz Canaan? It's a little bit strange, because if you look back at the end of Parshas Noach, so it says that Terach, Avram's father, took his family, and they were traveling from Ur Kasdim to where?
To Eretz Canaan.
So, like, could you imagine, like, God says, okay, I'm going to tell you to go somewhere. And then you're like, okay, where? And he's like, you know you're going there anyway? Like, that place that you're going anyway? That's where I want you to go. Like, oh, surprise! Like, that's, you know, like, that's a big test. That's a big surprise. Okay. So we have to take a step back, and we're going to answer things one by one, but kind of like along the way, we have to create a little bit of mahalach over here. So I saw a beautiful idea, Shlomo Karlbach quotes from Leib Eger, who says, like a mashal. He says, imagine you've met a beautiful girl, and you're dating for a few months, and you're so intrigued, and you're so impressed. She's beautiful, she's smart, she's witty, she's fun, she comes from a great family. All the milas, as they say in Yiddish, all the good things about her. And, you know, after several dates, and like, you know, you think, like, this is the one, maybe this is going to go somewhere. And she says to you, you know, I think we're close enough that I want to show you my most favorite place in the whole world. And she takes you out past her old school, through some fields, to the edge of a forest, and there's a little tree there with some bushes and beautiful flowers. And she says, this is where I used to come when I was a little girl. And this is where I used to think, and I used to write in a journal, and I would write poetry. And this is where I get inspiration from. The sky here is so blue, and the trees are so green, and the grass, and the flowers smell so fresh. And this is my place. If you appreciate who I am, then you'll appreciate this place. So, you know, if you're a guy, you'd be like, that's a tree. You know, like, it's grass. What's the big deal, right? But if you really love her, if you really appreciate who she is and what's made her who she is, so you say, this place is special to me also. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, this is Hashem's most favorite place in the world. This is the place that Hashem created the world from. Hashem created the world from here, and Hashem says, this is my favorite place in the world. As the pasuk says, Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elkecha Ba, it's the land that God's eyes are on, Mereishis Shana Arachri Shana, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Hashem always has his eyes on Eretz Yisrael. So why is this? So I thought that's what Reb Leib Eger says. But I was wondering, why is this? Why is Eretz Yisrael Hashem's most favorite place in the world? Okay, so the Isha Torah has to come out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the greatest mativ. Why did Hashem create us? I don't know if you guys have gotten to this in the curriculum yet. But why did Hashem create us? Hashem doesn't need us, right? Finite beings, he's an infinite being, he's completely perfect. He doesn't need us to like come and say Ashrei Yisrael Yisecha and then stop paying attention and look at our phones. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need us. Why did Hashem create us? Because he's a mativ, because he's a giver. Hashem wanted to give to us. And when Hashem wanted to give to us, it wasn't just like, you know, hey, let me throw some humans out in the world and like, you know, give them some tests and whatever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has dreams and plans and aspirations for each and every one of you, for each and every one of us. That we should become great, that we should become connected, that we should become holy, and we can turn this whole world holy. And so this place, Hashem created the world from right over there. This place represents Hashem's nuclear bomb of holiness, of giving, of Kedusha, that he just dropped right there. And from there, it emanated to the rest of Eretz Yisrael and to the rest of the world. And it all started here. Like that boy who loves that girl and therefore loves her place, so too Eretz Yisrael is this place. And this is why Eretz Yisrael is so unique. It's so unique. Because only in Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara, only in Eretz Yisrael can you have Nevuah. There isn't Nevuah outside of Chutz La'aretz after Moshe Rabbeinu. There's only Smicha in Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbanim in the Gemara, the Amoraim who lived in Babel, they didn't have the real Smicha. They're not called Rebbe, they're only called Rav. And this is because on a certain level, I'll explain in a second, there's only God in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? It sounds like heresy. But it's a Gemara in Maseches Ketubos. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Ketubos says straight out, Kol mi shadar b'Eretz Yisrael, kemi sheyesh lo eloka. Anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as though he has a God. Kol adar b'chutz la'aretz, anybody who lives in chutz la'aretz, doma kemi she'ein lo eloka. It's like he doesn't have a God. There's only Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. Where do you really find Hashem? Only here. So the medayik, what does that mean? Just so that people don't feel so bad that they live in Chutz-Lartz, America, or England. Kol mi shedar b'Eretz Yisrael, that if you live in Eretz Yisrael, domeh, it's like, it appears. What does that mean? It means, and see what Shalom brings from the Kuzari, that in Eretz Yisrael there's a special, unique hashgacha pratis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, as we said, are here every single day of the year. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instilling that Kedusha, that nuclear bomb Kedusha, smoldering, right? That bomb. And the Kedusha is just continuing to radiate. And that's what's happening here in Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem is watching it. And the Hashkacha Pratis in this land is unbelievable. Everybody knows there's so many stories about, right? You guys weren't even born yet. The Gulf War. I was a kid. I don't know, maybe 15, 14, something like that. Gulf War. Saddam Hussein sent dozens of bombs, of missiles, into Eretz Yisrael. You know what happened? Nothing. Maybe they hit a few empty houses. There was one woman who died because of a heart attack because a house on her block was hit or something like that. But you say 39 Scud missiles with possible gas in them, and nothing happened? Right? You talk about all the various attacks that are attempted every single day. That's Hashgacha Pratis. And if you want to know, if that is like just national Hashgacha Pratis or personal Hashgacha Pratis, let me tell you what happened to me tonight. I drove back in from Ramat Beit Shemesh, and as I'm driving into the Shaar Yafo, I know it's very hard to get a parking spot in the old city. So I said, Hashem, please help me find a parking spot. And I come around, by Shaar Tzion, and there's a Mitsubishi Outlander right in front of me, and I'm hoping, and whatever, we come around right by that row of shops, there are Armenian shops over there, which is basically the only place almost possible to get a parking spot. And I see there's a spot open. And I was like, wow. And then the Mitsubishi takes it. And I was like, oh. So I pull back, and I'm like, maybe I'll just wait here for a little bit, see if anybody pulls out. And then it's like 5 minutes, and then 7 minutes, and I'm like, okay, forget it. And I said, I'm just gonna leave my car here. It's by the bus stop. It's with the yellow and red lines, and it's really illegal to park there. I'm like, it's 10:30 at night. There's no cops around. I'm not going to get a ticket. In Israel, they say, you don't look for a parking space. You look for a space to park. So I'm like, this is fine. So I get out of the car, I lock it up, and I grab my scarf. I'm walking towards Yeshiva, and I round the corner to the point where I'm like right by the parking lot. And I think to myself, I can't believe that I'm going to go give the guys a Musar Shmooze. And I'm parked illegally. It's not Musari. It's not ethical. I'm like, I'll go back. I'll figure something out. I go back. And as I round the corner, there's a guy there getting into his car. And I'm like, are you pulling out? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I run to my car. And guess who's 5 feet away from the car? A police car. Looking at the cars. And I'm like, oh my gosh. A customer from Mamish saved me. Hashem saved me so much. And I get in the car, no ticket, I pull up, I get the spot, which is amazing, great spot in the old city. We have a short walk tonight, Baruch Hashem. And I get out of the car and I'm like, wow, this is great. And I'm like, this is not only Hashgacha Pratis, the Hashgacha Pratis of Eretz Yisrael. This is double Hashgacha Pratis. You know why? Because I was so honored to speak about Hashgacha Pratis and the Shmooze, and I needed a good story, and boom, it happened to me. It's double Hashgacha Pratis. Do you hear it? Do you hear what I'm saying? Hashem, thank you. Okay. This is Hashgacha Pratis. But this sounds like shtick, but it's not shtick. This is real life. This is real life. I remember when I was leaving Eretz Yisrael. My wife and I first lived here when we got married for a year, and it was a whole very difficult decision to decide to go back to America to teach. versus staying in Eretz Yisrael, and we decided, okay, we're going back. And one of my friends, who's now a very successful rabbi in another yeshiva, so he stayed, and we were talking about parnasa and this, that, and it's difficult here. And I was saying, you know, like a job I have in America, I'm not getting paid that much, you know, and it's like three times as much as he's getting paid, you know, with an Israeli budget, whatever. He's like Effie. It's like people in Israel, they eat bitachon for breakfast. You know, like, but that's what's happening over here. People surviving by the word of God, by Hashgacha Pratis alone. This unique revelation of Hashgacha Pratis is only in Eretz Yisrael. But it's really only for those people who are looking for it. This is why Hashem would not tell Avram where he was going. Because Avram Avinu had to search for it on his own. It's not about the destination that he was going to wind up in Canaan, but it's that Avram Avinu was a searcher. From age 3, he was trying to find God. And this is why the Torah doesn't tell us about it either. Because the lesson for us is not, oh, Avram found God, so therefore you should believe in God. The lesson is, you should find God. You should look for Hashem. There is a center of Ruchnius right here. There's spirituality. There's a core epicenter, thank you, of Ruchnius, of spirituality right here. And our job in this world is to search it out and to find it and to focus in on it. This is the Hashgacha of Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is a land, as Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, this is a land Asher Ar'eka. This is a land, Eretz Yisrael is a place where Hashem appears to the Jew. The Blabelis Eger says, the truth is, Eretz Canaan was not holy beforehand. Okay, but it's associated with the thing with the creation of the world, but okay. He says, what made Eretz Yisrael holy is that this is the place that a Jew who was searching for God came in. That little Avram Avinu, who was trying to find the world, was trying to find the meaning in life. So he came to Eretz Yisrael, and this is where Hashem appeared to him. The Sforno says, brought down Midrashim also, I believe, that Avram Avinu, you know, Hashem didn't tell him where to go. So how did he know where to go? So the Medrash says that Avram, you know, he and his chevra, you know, the chassidim there, you know, like they were like traveling along all together, and they would like stop here and like, you know, camp for the night, and then they would pack up and say, okay, let's move on to another place and camp there, and he was just like going. He had no clue where he was going. No GPS, no Waze, nothing, right? Until one day he's like, okay, let's pick up the camp, and he's like, can't get the tent out of the ground. He's like, what's going on over here? He's like, okay, guys, pack up your tents. And they're like, we can't move. And then he realized, this is it. This is the place. Hashem wants us to stay here. Because this is Eretz Yisrael. Vayira elav Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. Because Avram was looking for him, so Hashem appeared to him. And that's the yisod of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So let's bring it home. We're in our year in Israel. Oh, my year in Israel. I've been waiting 18 years, you know. Oh, this guy, a couple years ahead of me, he went to the year in Israel. Where's he going to go? This yeshiva, that yeshiva. What's a successful year in Israel? When you teach yourself to look for Hashem. Eini Hashem lekecha ba mirish shana ve'ara achris shana. Kodesh Baruch Hu's eyes are here. The question is, where are your eyes? Are your eyes looking for Hashem while you're here? Eretz Yisrael is a land, Eretz Asher Ar'eka. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Eretz Yisrael is a land that I'm going to show you things. This is a land where all your questions can be answered. Where all your potential, all the things, all the dreams, all the aspirations, all the inner yearnings, they can be fulfilled. You can become that Jew that you always wanted to be. You can connect to Hashem in a way that is beyond what you ever dreamed. This is a land I will show you. But how do you do that? Lech Lecha. You gotta go. You gotta go for it. Says the Rabbeinu B'chaya, what does lech lecha mean? Say min ha-lichluch shelcha. Get out of your dirtiness. Lichluch means dirt, you guys in Upan. You know, lichluch means dirt. You're dirty? Get out of the dirt, man. Lech lecha. You have to search for Hashem, and Hashem will have His eyes on you. What makes Eretz Yisrael special is not its beaches, and not its bars, not Ben Yehuda. What makes Eretz Yisrael special is its ruchnius. The kedusha of Eretz Yisrael emanates from Yerushalayim, and the kedusha of Yerushalayim emanates from the Har Habayis, and the kedusha of Har Habayis emanates from the Makom HaMikdash, and the Makom HaMikdash, its kedusha emanates from the Kodesh HaKadosh. And we are now so close to that epicenter. The Torah tells us what happens to those guys that come to Eretz Yisrael for the bars, and for the beaches, and for Ben Yehuda. What happens if you're here and you're not looking for Hashem, you're looking to have a good time, looking to relax, I'm looking to chill, I'm looking just to party. So the Torah tells us, Parshas Achrimos, the Torah tells us in the Parsha of the Arayos. Now, we're all guys over here. We all have taivas. We all have desires. We're all attracted to pretty things. But the Torah goes through and the Torah tells us that there are many things that you should not be attracted to. Or if you're attracted to it, at least you have to refrain. And it goes through the whole list of all the various Arayos, the various relations that are forbidden. And it tells us, Al titam'u b'chol eila. Don't become tamei in these things. Don't become tamei. Ki b'chol eila nitmu ha-goyim asher ani mishalech m'bneichem. Because the goyim who lived in this place before, you know why I'm kicking them out? Because this is what they did. Vatitma ha'aretz, it was impure. Va'efkod avona alo, v'taki ha'aretz es yeshvel. And the land is vomiting out the inhabitants. Eretz Yisrael cannot stand the tumah. So if you come here, do not expect to have a successful year if you're involved in tumah. Do not expect to connect to Hashem, to connect to spirituality, if you are connected to Ben Yehuda, if you're connected to the bars, to the hanging out with the social scenes. It's not going to happen. You're here for Ruchnius. Eretz Yisrael is about Ruchnius. This is what the Goyim did. And they lost it. What made Eretz Yisrael, we'll go back to Reb Leib Eger, what made Eretz Yisrael holy? One little yid saying, I want to find God. What makes a successful year? One little yid saying, I want to find God. Saying, I'm here to look for the Ruchnius. In its simplest form, in its most simple meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu took our forefathers out of Egypt. And He took us to Har Sinai. And He held Har Sinai over us. And all the Darshanim and even Midrashim, I think, even referred to this, is that the Har Sinai was a chuppah, and Hashem gave us the Torah, which was the Kes of Kedushin, and He married us. And He said, Am Yisrael, I love you. I want to live with you forever. Hariat Mekudeshusli, you're betrothed to me. And He built for us a Bayis Nema, Be Yisrael. He built us a home. Eretz Yisrael is that home for this beautiful couple called Hashem and Am Yisrael. Don't need to talk about marriage. This is what it's all about. There's a radio show. It's not really on the radio anymore, I don't think. Nachum Siegel in the New York area, New Jersey area. And Reb Nachum always says this most beautiful thing. The destiny of the Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael. And it's Pasha. It's not his chiddush, you know. You read Chumash and like that, like Pasha, like the destiny of the Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael. This is where we're meant to live happily ever after with Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, are you going to embrace that? Are you going to be schlepped along? There's a story. It's a little bit funny, a little bit sad. Very sad. The story about a average family living in America. And it's Pesach night, and they have a beautiful Seder. The kids ask the four questions, they sing the songs, they drink their four cups of wine. And comes to the end of the Seder, and they start to sing, Shana Haba V'Yerushalayim. They're singing, next year in Yerushalayim. The wife starts to cry. Tears streaming down her face. The husband says, honey, what's wrong? What's wrong? She says, I feel bad, but I don't want to live in Yerushalayim. I like it here in America. We're comfortable. I like our house. I like our neighborhood. I don't want to move to Israel. I don't want to move to Yerushalayim. The husband says, honey, don't worry. It's just a song. The destiny of the Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael. Because the destiny of the Jewish people, because the goal of the Jewish people is to be maximizing Ruchnis. And so the Kedusha of this place is our destiny. It's what we should be searching for. It's what we should be constantly yearning for, striving for, chasing after. I'm going to read an article. It's not really an article. It's called A Courtroom Scene. This appears in a book called To Dwell in the Palace, which is a highly propagandistic book about making Aliyah and living in Israel. The point about I'm not reading this because I'm trying to brainwash you guys to make Aliyah. I think one way or another, everybody's going to wind up here because Be'ez Hashem, Mashiach will come soon, and we'll all live here. But it's important to face what it says here at the core of our being, to ask ourselves, am I on track with the destiny of the Jewish people? This is called the courtroom scene. There are two characters. There's a judge and Yisrael. The judge says, welcome. I understand you lived a full Jewish life in the world you just left. Yisrael says, yes, sir. You set aside time for Torah learning every day. You were faithful in your business dealings? Perfectly. Did you anticipate salvation? Absolutely. For those who are not familiar, these are the questions that the Gemara says that they ask you in the courtroom in heaven after 120 years when a person goes up to when their neshama goes up to Shemayim. They ask you, did you set time for Torah learning? Were you honest in business? Did you anticipate salvation? Did you wait for the Mashiach? And Yisrael says, absolutely. How so? Asks the judge. I believed each day that the Mashiach would come to end the Golos and bring the Geula. Judge asked, where was it that you lived? Yisrael says, Muncie. No offense. Judge says, where is that? Yisrael says, New York State. Judge says, what land is that in? Yisrael says, land? It's in a... Yeah, the land of which nation? Yisrael says, it's in America. I see. Why didn't you live in the land of Israel? Yisrael is slightly alarmed. I don't know. So many problems there and everything. Did you never learn that a full Jewish life is possible only in the land of Israel? Yisrael nervously says, well, I learned it theoretically, but there's so many firm people. Great Rabbanim and everybody were living in America. I figured it was not something that I had to do right away. Who? Huh? Who were the great rabbis that you used as your models for this? So I said, well, there's Rabbi so-and-so and Rabbi so-and-so. Did you ever talk to them about it? About why they didn't live in the land of Israel but remained in the land of exile? not really. I guess they have their reasons. Leaders can't just abandon their followers. Ah. Okay, says the judge. How many followers do you have? Well, a few. I've given some shiurim, and I had some influence on some... Yes. But I was doing a lot of learning, and doing a lot of good things, and giving a lot of charity, and who knows if I could have done all those things in Eretz Yisrael. Uh-huh. Did you consult with a rav to determine the validity of your calculations? I don't remember ever asking one, no, but... What could they say to me if they were all there? You mean like so-and-so, leader of thousands of Talmidim? Yes. You tried to learn from his example? Exactly. Did you emulate him in other areas as well? Yes. Learning, teaching, piety, character, holiness? Well, not exactly. Did you learn as many hours, teach as many students, perfect your character as stringently as he did? Well, of course not. Did you adopt all his chumras? So, hardly. But this exemption you embraced without question. Exemption? Exempting yourself from the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel. Yisrael shrugs. The mitzvah equivalent to all others. Yisrael is silent. The mitzvah which brings the whole Torah home. Yisrael bows his head. It's a pity, Yisrael. Others would have followed you. Others would have learned from your example. Yisrael puts his head in his hands. You could have made a difference. Yisrael lowers his head to his knees. The whole situation in the land of Israel might have been affected. Yisrael's shoulders begin to shake. The Geula might have come by now. Yisrael is in tears. All going to face that courtroom scene after 120. And it's not just about living in Eretz Yisrael. It's about our value system. How do you make your decisions? What are your goals? What are you striving for? Who do you want to be? What kind of life are you going to build? How are you going to build a family? Who are you going to be? What kind of husband, what kind of father are you going to be? What kind of wife do you decide to marry? What kind of children do you raise? What kind of community do you live in, and how do you contribute to that community? How do we make our decisions? How do we live with Hashem? Only by looking for it. Like Avraham Avinu was looking for God, we can only find that by looking for it. You know, when the Gemara, when the Talmud Bavli wants to teach us something, it says, Tashma, come and listen. When the Yerushalmi wants to teach us something, it says, Tachazi, come and see. Chavra, this is the year to open your eyes. This is the year to search for Hashem. This is the year to be a little Avraham Avinu. Pave the way for your children, your children's children. The destiny of the Jewish people is being written right here, right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us all inspiration to feel close to Him, to bring us closer to Him, to help us understand His Torah, that it should be meaningful and it should be profound in our hearts and in our minds, so that we can do our part for the destiny of the Jewish people. What's your part in it? Tachazi. Come and see.